Well, we're back from the break. Now, the presentation today is all about the dialectical process, the heresiarchal process, the process of change, the word you hear everywhere you turn. We live in a rapidly changing world. Well, see, Karl Marx wrote 11 theses on Feuerbach. Now, Feuerbach was a materialist. He was just a raw materialist, a formula materialist. And Marx corrected him because he brought Hegel's dialectic in, which gives you justification. The key is to justify where you're going to shoot somebody. It's not enough just to go out and shoot them. You have to justify it. And so that gives life, that gives credibility to the act of violence. It's no longer an act of violence. It's an act of deliverance. You know, again, abortion is dialectic. It's not an act of violence in those who think dialectic. It's an act of deliverance from oppression. See, oppression to restraint, to laws, because God has laws. He even put in the body. Men were created and women were created in a particular way to procreate. Those are laws. And so when a child is conceived, when somebody's conceived, that's a law of God. You can't be half pregnant. You either are or you're not. And it's a result of the way God has designed us in relationship, man with woman. Notice the issues today. It's no longer the law, it's the lawless. In other words, we don't care about the intent in the way that God has created the world. We intent upon the pleasures that we get from the world, the feelings we get. And so our thoughts are now upon the flesh, and anything that comes between us and the flesh, us and the world, us and the environment, must be annihilated. And that's what Marx actually said. He said, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, this is Feuerbach thesis number 4. He said, once you realize that correlation, what is that correlation? I've just given it to you, where the father says, no, you can't go out, and you cannot bond with the earth. You cannot become at one with Eros. Eros, the feelings of this relationship with the world, is drawing you into to cosmic oneness. And a parent comes and says, no, you cannot. There is right and there is wrong, and I'm the one who sets the standards. I'm the author and the authority. The author gives you the law. The authority enforces it. And I'm both. And you try to get them in a dialogue because that's the way of the world. And they go to because I said so, which says, okay, there's the force. Do you know when your parents said because I said so? It's probably because you pushed them to the point that they're finally putting their foot down, and you can feel the intensity of that foot coming down. In other words, if you keep it up, it's coming down on you. And so what do? You talk to yourself. And you say, well, I ought to be able to go out. Now, you don't say it to your parents, because that's rebellion. That's challenging their authority and their command. But your best friend, you're talking to your best friend. You know when you say oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, you're talking to your best friend? That's self. God says deny yourself. But no, we exalt ourselves. Because, well, right at that moment, you're not really exalting self. You're just sulking with self. And self will always join you in the sulk.
They'll say, oh, you're right. Yeah, they're just, in fact, you're going to have all kinds of feelings about their oppression upon you. You're going to have a pity party.
What are you pitying? Your flesh. But see, when God formed man from the dust of the ground. Now, if you just see man as formed from the dust of the ground, that's the human part of man, human. Everything you hear today about human rights. What are human rights? Human rights are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Now, they're not considered lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They're considered normal. What makes them abnormal is God's command. It's God himself. God is the source of abnormality. God is a source of neurosis. God is a source of alienation. God is a source of nationalism. God is a source of oppression. God is a source of poverty. God is a source of those who have and those who have not. I have just described our whole administration. This is the concept of the New World Order, of globalism. God is the anthropological source of alienation. You're alienated from yourself because self says, let's go out. You're alienated with your friends who you want to relate with. You're alienated from the world. And what then happens is that if they shut that autobi off and you learn, instead of projecting your love to yourself, which takes you to the world, you project your love to the parent and you embrace their law and you go out into the world and you preach and teach their law. You preach and teach the word of God as is, and you don't dialogue. You just say, thus saith the Lord. Now you're the enemy of the New World Order. I'm giving you the foundation of the hate crime. This is what the hate crime is all about. Anybody who comes in and prevents somebody from an experiential experience, in other words, restrains their inquiry into the nature of the world. Because if we go to human rights, there is no lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Isn't that what Paul says? If I didn't know law, if I didn't know God's law, I wouldn't know I was a sinner. And so you wouldn't know it was wrong to go out and play with your friends until your parents said you can't go out. Or else you just go out and experience it and you find out, wow, man, they just ripped me off. But they save you from that because they already know. And they say, no, you can't go out. Well, why? Give me my death. You know, let me be cursed. I'll enjoy the cursing. I'll enjoy the condemnation. Broad is that path. Many go there. Well, you know why that Brad path is so broad? Because, man, you know, pick your poison. Enjoy it. Because the poison is the flesh. And we say, no, the flesh is my friend. I get up with it in the morning, and I walk with it all day long, and I go to bed with it. And there's nothing wrong with it until God comes along. The parent comes along and says, no, you can't do it. And where I try to rescue my flesh, and myself loves the flesh, and so I go, why? Let's get into dialogue, because it's a dialogue I can rescue myself in. And they say, because I said so. And then you know right away that since I'm not getting control of the self, because the self, see, loves the flesh, they're going to get control of the flesh. You know, they're going to bypass me and go to the flesh. Whack. Call whack. And so, well, there's pain in that, so I don't really want pain, I want pleasure, so maybe I better pay attention to what Dad is doing. And Marx understood that traditional home of chastening. God chastens those he loves, so does the parent. They do it, by the way, for their pleasure, but God does it because he's holy, and he breathed not only, he not only formed man from the dust of the ground, but he also breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul. You have a soul, it's going to live forever. The flesh will not comprehend your soul. Your soul doesn't comprehend the flesh. Your soul comprehends the law of God. Isn't this brilliant on Satan's whole concept was, okay, if we just don't bring up the law of God, man will focus on his flesh and he will lose his soul and he won't even know it. Wow. And the lawless one can rule because we love our flesh. We're in those little classrooms doing the group grade dialogue, and how do you feel? What do you think? You're in the counseling with the ministers today. How do you feel and what did you think? We're in the workplace of the team groups. How do you feel and what do you think? Every legislator has to get in subcommittees. Well, how do you feel and what do you think? That's a diverse group. You have to have the diversity. You have to have an A and negative A. Why? Dialoguing to a consensus means with a sensuous, with the flesh, with the carnality of mankind. That's our foundation. And if we can say that our outcome is good, then we did just exactly what happened in the garden, because Eve is looking at the tree. She's going, it's good, and it was good. It was pleasing to the eyes. It was good. It was pleasing to the eyes. And desirous to make one wise. It was to make them wise in their own eyes, but they were wise. Wise is an ambiguous word. Professing to be wise, they became fools in God's paradigm, but in our paradigm, it's wisdom. So she's doing just like God. God created the world, and he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. What's she doing? It is good, it is good, it is good. She's just like God, but she can only evaluate the world through her flesh. That's all you and I can do. When we talk to ourselves to justify our situation, we're in agreement with the flesh. We're in agreement with the world. We're in agreement with a new world order, and we're in agreement with the Antichrist. He's just a user-friendly, non-offensive Jesus who knows how to get you in a dialogue and find common ground and come to a consensus with the sensuous, with the flesh, over social issues. That tree of knowledge, good and evil, was a social issue. It was a relationship issue in the creation. And you got to have the facilitator. You want to be a facilitator? I don't care if you're a minister. I don't care how many degrees, theology degrees. I don't care how educated you are or dumb you are. You want to be a facilitator, study Satan. God does not facilitate. He tells you up front, this is right and that is not. Choose today who you will serve. It's contrast. Light versus dark. That's why the darkness can't comprehend the light, because it cannot comprehend right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Our flesh cannot comprehend that. And then the mind set upon the things of this world cannot comprehend right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Well, we cannot have the law of relativity. It's not a law. It's a theory of relativity. And so Einstein went to thought experiments. In other words, reality goes into the head. And sure, you find a lot of facts out there. You're just experimenting. But why take all of society on an experiment? That was the last space shuttle. Well, the Space Shuttle 25 that blew up was an experiment, but they put civilians on board. Do you realize the whole dialectic process, when you use it in a culture, that everybody must participate? And there's no set outcome. The outcome is the process. There is no arrival. The arrival is the process. It's the journey. It's the broad path. That's the whole purpose. Just get on the broad path. Well, where is it taking us? Well, we don't know, but we're going to have a great time in a room dialoguing. How do you feel and what do you think? We're going to get the group hug on our way into the abyss. But we don't know we're going to the abyss because everybody's going there with us. We have no reference point because we got rid of the negative people. The cannots and the must nots and the thou shalt nots people, because we got in love with ourselves, we dialogued with ourselves, and we did it in a group session. And we bonded with the cosmic forces, Mother Earth, Gaia. See, this is the pathway. The dialectic is taking the world. A pathway of abomination. A pathway into the abyss. And the world's drunk. Intoxicated. Your friends, you start sharing truth even with those you love around you, and they'll glaze over why they're in love, because they love the dopamine, they love the pleasure, and you're not making them feel good because their reality in life is based upon feelings which come from the flesh. Deny yourself. That's what you got to do. Nobody can do it for you. God can put you in an environment where you're chastened, but you got to choose. Deny yourself. You have to do it. Pick up your cross. You have to do it. That means social. That's social. See, the cross is a social thing. You don't go out into, Moses didn't go out into the wilderness, you know, and carve out some kind of a cross. Jesus didn't go into the wilderness, carve out some kind of a cross and just hang himself on it. No, the village does that to you. Your neighbors do that to you. The relatives do that to you. The government does that to you. But you have to, what that means is you're going to proclaim the truth in love. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And they'll put you on the cross. But you got to pick it up. That's God's paradigm. You preach and teach the truth. That's picking up the cross. You preach and teach the truth. And you'll have less people in the congregation. See, you're going to have less support. You're not going to have the retirement. You may not have the quote-unquote blessings of this world. Because the more we go dialectic, the less the man of God is going to get support. Boy, it's across the board. Every minister out there who's preaching and teaching the Word of God uncompromised, they're not getting support. It's those guys out there dialoguing next to their wife and how do you feel and what do you think? Matriarch, patriarch, move to heresiarch. Let's have a bonding moment. We're out there feeding and clothing and doing wonderful things. I'm not saying anything against that. But does he know you? Does he know you? Did he send you? Or do you just think he sent you? Or feel like he sent you? Do you know? And how do you know? You deny yourself and you pick up your cross and you follow him. And then he leads you. He directs you. It is not in you to direct your steps. Well, today we have a whole system that says, oh no, you know, you can participate. God can't do anything without you. Oh, what arrogance. God can speak through the rocks without you. I'm speechless. Why? Because God isn't going to respond to that in a dialogue. He's just going to judge. Even if the king of Babylon, remember God had him eat grass for 5 or 7 years? And finally he comes out and he says, God has authority over all things. God raises up and he brings down. I mean, it was an understanding absolute that God doesn't need you or me to speak the truth. He will choose. You know, remember the one prophet who said, oh, I'm all alone? No, God says, I've got 7,000 others out there who have not bent their knees to their pride, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes, and bonded with the cosmic forces. They are faithful to me, and none of them come out of their mouth, God, you need me. No man of God will say, God needs me. That's only the devil speaking. In the name of Jesus. You know, Satan has ministers of righteousness. Well, I've certainly got away from what I was going to cover in these series of Irvin Yalom. That's quite an introduction. But the dialectic is all about change and heresy. And it's not leaving you in your ought-to-be. It's thinking about it now. That's the imagination of potential. And so when Eve had her ought to be, God says you can't eat of it nor touch it. That's her ought to be. I ought to be able to touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. I ought to be able to relate with my senses, the sensuous, my sensuous needs with the world. The environment stimulates them. See, if you taste sugar, all of a sudden the body will sense pleasure, and then you'll pay attention to where'd that pleasure come from? And you say, oh, it must be associated with that white stuff or that brown stuff. And then your body automatically loves it, and now your mind is upon it, and you set your mind on things on the earth. Nothing wrong with that until the parent says, you know, put the cookie up, put the candy up, whatever it is, put it aside. Now, if you keep going, if you decide to go out through the door and satisfy your pleasure with the world, that's the lust of the flesh. Adam and Eve did not have lust of the flesh until they turned to the tree and went beyond God's command. There was nothing wrong with those trees. In fact, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there was nothing wrong with the tree. Physiologically, materialistically, there was nothing wrong with it. The issue was their obedience. Did you obey? No, they're the children of disobedience, just like you and me. All the law can do is tell us, tell you and tell me, where the wrath of God is upon us. We're all condemned. That's what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. You put yourself in Moses' seat because you love the praise of men. You're not doing it because you love God. If you'd love God, you'd look at the law, and the law would say, you're wicked, you're depraved, you're despicable. The best you've ever done in your life, the best you can ever do, is as a filthy rag. That's your best. That's what you would put at the top and circle and point arrows to it and say, wow, God, look at that. And God says, stinks. That's your best, and it stinks. I don't know you. Because how do I know you? You look at my law, and you see nothing but your wickedness. Well, wait a minute. I was 9-tenther. I was 7-tenther. I was 4-tenther. No, you break one part of the law. It's the system. It's the system of obedience. It's not a bell curve grading system. You either are or you aren't. And all the law says is you're not God. You talk to your flesh. You talk to yourself. And self loves the flesh. And you followed your best man. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. You trusted in yourself. And when Jesus turned to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, you didn't love Moses. If you'd have loved Moses, if you'd have loved the law, because every time you looked at it, it condemned you, and you knew you weren't God, you would be humble before God. You'd be looking for me, because I came as God to rescue you from God's wrath. But instead, you hate the law, so when you saw me, you hated me. Let me tell you something. Ministers out there are doing the positive stuff. They're putting the law of God aside. God's law and his love are synonymous. Jesus didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled it. Am I talking legalism? No. You can't go out and fulfill that law. There are those who want to go out and just be legalistic. No, it's in him. They're always talking about the law. Where's Jesus? It's fulfilled in him. His righteousness is imputed to you. And so when I look at the law now, it's no longer condemnation. It is mercy and grace. It's mercy and grace. And with my heart, see, the Holy Spirit will not break the law, so I walk in the Spirit, I won't break the law. Now, whether Marx didn't understand that, but he understood he hated God, just like the scribes and Pharisees hated God. just like Satan hates God, just like the ministers today who are not preaching the law of God. Now, if you preach the law of God in a congregation and people are leaving, you're speaking to their flesh. They need to repent. They're leaving because they're under contrition. Preach the word of God. As God leads you to preach it, proclaim the truth in love, preach and teach it. There isn't a man of God who loves the Lord is going to be offended by the law of God. Paul says, with my mind, I love it. Because every time they hear it, they see God's mercy and grace on their soul through the works of Christ. But what happened in the church today, they put the law aside. And if you put the law aside, you have to put the cross aside, and you have to put the blood of Lamb aside. And it go to relationship. Well, how do you feel and what do you think becomes the pulpit message? And they're speaking the very same message, the very same dialectical system that Satan presented to Eve, and they call themselves facilitators, and they're absolutely right. They're messengers. They're ministers of righteousness from Satan and not from God. And you say, oh man, they preach good sermons. How can you say that? Look at what's going around. If you're in a little Bible studies going, I feel and I think, that's the wolf. Is a shepherd going to say, well, okay, you're saved here, but I know there's some wolves out there in those other pens out there, but we'll open the gate and put you out there, you know, because Fred's out there. You know, I sort of like Fred, and he puts a lot of money in the church, and, you know, he comes from the TQM environment. He's very professional and successful, and we'll just put some sheep over there, and we'll put sheep over with Mary over here, and they'll do their dialoguing to consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting. How do you feel? What do you think? And we'll just have a few of the sheep sacrificed to the wolves out there, and you call that man a minister of God? Minister of God will preach and teach. He'll make sure that you're always in an environment of preaching and teaching. And when there's dialogue, you know, there's microevolution and there's no macroevolution. There's no evolving between kinds. But in kinds, birds will evolve to different state. Now, they can have a little dialogue. You and I can get in a Bible study, and we're focusing on the Word of God, and you say, well, what does this mean? I'm not saying what does this mean to dialogue as this process does, to dialogue away from the Word of God. I just want to understand it more. And if I don't understand it, I'll accept that I'm not capable of understanding it. It's spiritual. Can't change it, rearrange it, so my carnal mind can comprehend it. Because my carnal mind is dark, and God's Word is light. And the darkness cannot comprehend the light. So until God opens my eyes and opens my ears, I can't comprehend it. But we got PhDs in theology coming out and saying, oh, we comprehend, man. We're intelligent. Look at my degrees. And my degree is all about how do you feel and what do you think. And I'm going to facilitate you into the broad path on the way in of the abyss to eternal damnation, because Jesus said, I didn't know you. He'll tell you, I didn't know you. How does he know you? You humble yourself, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. That's how he knows you. You're not following the flesh. Now, are you in the flesh? You're in the world, but not of it. Do you fail? Yes. Pray not. But Jesus said, you know, of 70 times 7. That's how many times God, is that an eternal number? Does that say, well, okay, I'm saved, I can go out and do whatever I want? No, that's not the gospel message. There's the law. Every time you come to the law, if you have that attitude, the law is going to condemn you. You're going to make sure that you have a minister up there doing the positive preaching. No negative stuff, man. And if it is done, it's just to cover all bases, and we do it in such a way. You know what I call Christians today? Here's the approach of a Christian, quote unquote, today. You got to make sure they have plenty of flesh to get Jesus down. Make sure they have the flesh so they can swallow Jesus. Well, my Lord will not associate. What harmony is Christ with Belial, with the flesh? Now, Irvin Yalom, I did this the last presentation. California, the whole thing of the promoting the flesh, by the way, is the group. Mark says, once you realize that traditional family is God's secret, the traditional family must be annihilated. You got to destroy this top-down system. The parent who tells the child you can't go out. You get them in a group, you make sure the parents are in a group, and you get the parents to go, I feel and I think, and the child's odd is going to come out. The child within them is going to come out. The flesh is going to come out. And if the flesh comes out in everybody else, then it's no longer lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's just human nature. Boys will be boys. Don't you know how to relate with your children and with your wife and put aside this top-down system, husband's rule, desire of the heart, or wife to the child, and children obey your parents and the Lord? That all has to be annihilated, negated. No longer law, no longer right and wrong, and black and white, and sheep and goats attitude. You know, that's human rights. Human rights says you don't have the right to come in and prevent your child from practicing incest. I'm going to cut to the chase. If you study Sigmund Freud, Sigmund Freud's hero is Orpheus, which was a Greek figure who was a homosexual and made love to young boys. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the foundation of psychology. You cannot, it's impossible for you to be a Christian psychologist. Impossible. You're a liar, you deceive everybody you come in contact with, and you exonerate and glorify Satan's kingdom, not God's, because God's kingdom is not going to be promoting the flesh, and certainly not abomination. Read Leviticus 17, 19, 21, and read about abomination and God's attitudes towards abomination and the church. If you're in a church that's going, I feel and I think, you're on the pathway of abomination. If your ministers say, well, we have to come to consensus, no, you're on the way to abomination. It's conformation. You're formed in His likeness. God's not confused. He is not built on your flesh. He's not built on your thoughts. He's not built on your way. He's not built on change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this church that says contemporary, you know what the temporary means? It's just the here and now. It's just the flesh. And it's dying. And God is not built on death. But if your church is an I feel and I think and let's do the group hug and let's make sure people feel good when they come in here and feel good when they leave. No, they need to be leaving in conviction and contrition before God, desiring to repent of their wickedness because they've heard the law of God. And they've also heard the grace. Because you leave people condemned. And you don't give them hope. Now, the man's hope is in pleasure, and pleasure is in happiness, and happiness is in the mind, and the mind is tied to the world. That's not God's hope. Tribulation worketh hope. Tribulation is when you hear the word of God, and now you're in tribulation. It's a right and wrong, and you're wrong, and now you know it. There's no confusion. There's no in-between. And so you have to choose. Choose today. There's only A and B. A and negative A, see? I just put it this way. There's A and B. If you're A, you're A. And if you're B, you're B. Now, if you say, well, I have a little B in the A and a little A in the B, that's all B. There's either A or B. You're either redeemed or you're not. You're under the blood of the Lamb or you're not. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're not. God will not. God says, if you either love me or you love the world. It's an either or. Well, you know what? We didn't get to Irvin Yalom in this program, but we will pick up. In the next presentation. But you understand where we are today as a culture with a dialogue, everybody asking for your opinions? No, turn to the Word of God. Study it. Study, show yourself approved unto God, not to men. If you go to men, it's going to be oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. If it's to God, is a not. You're holy and I'm not. And without you, I can do nothing. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my light. You're my path. You're everything I have and I desire in my life. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He is the one. He is the one who directs your path. Let Him direct.